Open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2, and I cannot tell you how excited I am about this message. I have to admit it, I love TV shows that have before and afters. Does anybody else like a good before and after? So the Today Show has like these things that they call the makeover ambush. Or I used to love that show, don't know if it's still on, that What Not to Wear. And you just learn what not to wear. So you don't know what to wear, or The Biggest Loser. Those are all so much fun. And I guess I'm not alone in this, because I Googled that on the internet and over 3 billion hits came up. So if you want attraction to your website, put some before and afters on it, is what I got to say there. Who doesn't like a good flip or flop home show? I mean, you want to see what somebody can do when they turn it around. And not only that, photographers will tell you. If you come to their websites, they will skip the landscapes and the portraits, and they will go straight to the before and afters. So that makes me comfortable knowing I'm not alone. Ladies, I am going to show you some before and afters this evening in a series. And the first one's going to make you feel really good, because these are celebrities' before and after makeup. Oh, wait, I thought she just walked around like that. Come on. And then we have the next one. Oh, Heidi Klum, I love her. You know what, Skip, when he saw these, he goes, she kind of looks like a man. Now, I don't think that, but you know, that's a big turnaround. And then finally, J-Lo, she's beautiful in and out, all of these ladies are, but a good makeover can do a whole lot, right? And so sometimes I just kind of wish, could they just put hope in a jar? Like, this is way too much for me. And next week you're going to learn on Saturday how to do some of these tricks. And I swear, use every trick you can. But I just want one easy hope in a jar. Wait, they do sell hope in a jar. This company called Philosophy sells hope in a jar. And it's so funny. They had hope in a jar. Then their next product was renewed hope in a jar. And if that doesn't work, their final was when hope is not enough. So you got that going for you. And look what they say. Where there is hope, there can be faith. Where there is faith, miracles can occur. I want that. I want that really bad. But you know what, Christian? We know hope's not found in a jar. Hope is found in Jesus. You are A, number one students. We learned last week that it is his resurrection power that brings us hope. And the living God cannot be contained in a jar or a tube or a package or even the tomb, because he rose from it. And our deepest longing is what Paul says in Romans 8. He who raised Christ from the dead will give life to our mortal bodies. Now that's a makeover. That's the one I'm looking for. Ephesians 2 introduces the greatest makeover when Paul describes what we were like before salvation and after salvation. And this is a transformation from the inside out, from death to life, sinner to saint, flesh to faith. You want this makeover? I do. Well, we're going to find out that there are these bad things that exist in the universe called free radicals. Oh, boo, bad. And if you want to beat some of those free radicals, you're going to need some sunblock. And then finally, there are secret active ingredients that can reverse the damage. So let's look at Ephesians 2, read it, and pray. Ephesians 2, verse 1, and you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, circle, underline, highlight, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us to lie alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. Lord, thank you for your word. And your word is living and powerful. It, and in and of itself, can cleanse us, purify us, and make us whole. Lord, immerse us in your word tonight. Send your spirit to enlighten us, Lord. And may you be glorified to clean up any free radicals in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Free radicals. Scientists say that free radicals are dangerous things, and the culprits involved rapid aging for the skin, dullness, wrinkles, redness, sunspots. I just want to go boo to all those things. And the most common free radicals are a result of ultraviolet light, pollutants in the air, or habits like smoking, drinking, or drugs. This is someone before and after crack cocaine. A few months, a few years, we have another one. Wow, that's some free radicals. And finally, ladies, do not fool yourselves into believing that you can mess around with some of the free radicals in this world and walk away unscathed or unscars, because it's just not the truth. And the free radicals in the spiritual realm are trespasses and sins. That's what Paul tells us here. And they eat us up from within. And these terms are not the result of disobedience. Trespass and sin are the cause. We sin because we were born sinners. For instance, a liar doesn't become a liar because she tells a lie. She tells a lie because she's a liar. A thief doesn't steal because he's a thief. A thief steals because he really has it in his DNA. Sometimes we want that cause and effect, and I'm telling you, we were born sinners. David said in Psalm 51:5, "Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me." That's pretty intense. We have it in our DNA. Now, sin literally means missing the mark. Very, very simple. Today, if I was Katniss Everdeen, and I was in the Hunger Games, and I took my arrow to hit the mark, and it came nowhere near and fell off, and maybe even just shot a horse next to it or something, that would be me missing the mark. So then you have to ask yourself, well, if sin is missing the mark, what is the mark? Where is the bullseye? What am I supposed to hit? You know what you're supposed to hit? God's holiness. For Scripture teaches us, Old and New Testament, "Be ye holy as I am holy." Is there anyone here that can do that? With apart from God, none of us can stop sinning. We need the help of God. Let me give you an example to show you this. Let's just say, hey, everybody, come with me. We're going down to the river, down to the Rio Grande, the Bosque. And all of us are going to line up on the edge. And I'm going to say, 1, 2, 3, jump. And the one that makes it across wins. Oh, wait, the Rio Grande is 600 feet to 6 miles across, depending on where we have to do it. Now, some of you got a little bit of game. Some of you can really run it up. And maybe like Zanetta. She could make it 6 feet, 8 feet, I don't know, like a running three jump, whatever it is. Me, I'm going to be pushing it if I hit 3. Some of you, maybe a couple inches. But what's the point? Will anyone make it across? That's what sin is. None of us can cross the Rio Grande on our own. As a matter of fact, Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Want to just fess it up out there? Can you just say, "I am a sinner"? I am a sinner. And my name is Lenya. No, I'm just kidding. But you know what? We are all sinners. We are born sinners. Now, trespass is a little bit different from sin. Trespass is stepping aside from the right path. There are sins of omission, which is not doing what you're supposed to do, and commission, purposely doing what you're not supposed to do. So let's just pretend, so I can illustrate trespass. I draw a line right here. Can you see my line? Just pretend. Right here. You see this line? And I say to you, do not cross the line. Whatever you do, like my grandchildren, hot lava, don't go over there. So you come bustling around the corner with things in your hand and you're like, ah, oh no, hot lava. That's a trespass. You didn't mean to fall in there. It was just kind of, well, I'm sorry, that's sin. You missed the mark. Trespass is you come up to this line and you go, that's that idea of volition. Oh yeah, I know the line's there. I'm diving in the hot lava. And some of us are just like that. The result is, ladies, whether you sinned by missing the mark or you sinned by volitionally choosing something, you are a dead woman walking. For Paul says the wages of sin is death. There's a death sentence. You are on death row. Somehow, hanging, firing line, chemicals, that is the penalty for sin. And also we learned when you were born, you were born a sinner. So you might say when you were born, you were DOA, dead on arrival. Either way you stack those odds, you're dead. Question, how dead is dead? Dead. But why do some of us compare our deadness to other people's deadness? I'm not as dead as she's dead. Like, I'm only mostly dead. You ever try and do that? So, you want to know what I think? It's not that you're more dead or less dead than someone else. It's just the process of decay has set in. You got me? Some are a little more ripe than others. Jesus, when he went to roll away the stone with Lazarus, by now he stinketh. Some of you think you're going on it okay, but you're dead. Fox News reported just 3 days ago, a homeless man in Florida was on a kind of path in the forest and found a dead body, and he picked up the head and brought it into a Publix grocery store and sat it on top of a trash can because he wanted to alert the authorities. Now, the guy that dialed 911 said, he's been carrying it around like a puppet. Yes, it's human. I see its teeth. I'm not touching it. You see, you would fool yourself to not know before Christ you are dead. That's what Scripture teaches us. Now, the things that kill us, the things that make us the walking dead, move in three realms. The world, Satan, and our flesh. These are the free radicals that are causing the damage. You once walked according to the course of this world. World in Greek means cosmos. It does not describe the planet spinning in space. It means the world's system or the world's values. And don't fool yourself into thinking the world's values are neutral. They are not. They are trying to corrupt you and cause decay. That's why Paul said in Romans 12:2, do not be conformed, which means squeeze you into the mold of this world. Because the world has a slick marketing campaign. John MacArthur said there are three strong currents in the world. Listen to them. Humanism, materialism, and illicit sex. And the world keeps churning and marketing these things. Why? They're slick as ad campaigns. What? Why else do these lovely women eat Carl's Jr. burgers in bathing suits in seductive poses? Because I'll tell you what, if I can get me a cheeseburger diet and I'm going to look like Paris Hilton, Kim Kardashian, or one of those ladies, I'm all in. It's a lie. They just want your men to eat hamburgers because they think it's sexy. So the world is pumping it out. John warned in 1 John 2:15, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Do you hear me? The more you love the world, the less you love God. That's the equation that is put here. The world, and then Satan, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the son of disobedience. Now, it talks about Satan, and I just want to say this. It is not necessarily him personally. Paul's not saying you can be personally possessed by Satan. You want to know why? There's only one of him. He is not omniscient and omnipresent like God, so he can only be one place at a time. So in case you were thinking that was a problem, not the case. Now, he does have demons. He does have rank and file that follow him. We're going to learn in Ephesians 6. What he wants to do with unsaved people is either knowingly or unknowingly influence people with his lies. That's what he wants to do. In other words, he would like to get you on his same wavelength. He's the prince of the power of the air. Where are TV shows right now, radio programs right now, internet stuff right now? In the air. Unless, of course, you have antennas or a satellite dish or some cables or something that can tune in these frequencies and bring them to life. Lesson? Don't wear antennas. Do not make little tinfoil antennas and try and get into touch with the principalities and the powers that work in the air. Why are you putting out receivers for things you should not be receiving? Is the question here. John MacArthur writes, what Paul had in mind is the fact that Satan rules the powers, demons, who occupy the air, the heavenly sphere around the earth, so that men are not free and independent, but totally dominated by hell. Do not drink from these waters. And the result of this is they are having sons of disobedience. Sons of disobedience. His end game for human beings, whether it's the world or the air, is that we would disobey God. End game. All that marketing is that you would disobey God. Now, why? Because Satan's an angel who became a demon by disobeying God. So he's marketing the same thing he's always marketed. Do you know that your belief creates your behavior? What you think impacts how you live? That you must connect the two of these? Satan's chief tool to get you to disobey is to lie. As a matter of fact, he is the father of all lies. He wants us to think and live according to the presuppositions, ideologies, and standards of this evil age. So, back to the garden. It's the first place he tried this marketing campaign. And he plopped in and he tried this on Eve. Evil. And what happened is, he got in the garden and he says to the serpent, hey Eve, can you eat of any tree in the garden? She goes, yes, no, you cannot eat of the tree of life because in the day that you just even touch it. So she passes with flying colors. If God says no, I'm not even touching the tree. Not backing off. Oh, the enemy thought, well now, maybe I could get her to think differently about this. Well, that's just because God knows the day you eat of it, you will be wise. You will be just like God, knowing good and evil. She bit right into it because he gave her stinking thinking. And her stinking thinking was going to end up in a sinful life. And it's the same thing he tries to do with us. So we have the world, Satan, and finally the flesh, among whom also we all conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath. Flesh is our human nature that is opposed to God. And it lusts, it hungers, it wants, it craves, it just needs these things. Your flesh is just unrelenting. Now, to make you understand this, let me tell you about Mac the dog. Mac is my dog. And you know what? Mac is a dog. Mac barks like a dog whenever anybody goes by. Mac begs like a dog. Anytime you just try and even sneak a chip, He begs like a dog. You open the door, Mac runs away like a dog. Why does Mac act like a dog? Because he's a dog. In his very nature, in his flesh, he will never be a cat. Because he was created to be a dog. Your flesh stinks. And it just goes through varying stages of decay. So you can have the world, you can have Satan, and you can have the flesh. The Bible warns against the flesh. In Galatians, Paul portrays it as the complete opposite of the spirit. Pretty much, whatever God wants, it's the opposite of what your flesh wants. And if you look at Galatians 5 and 6, you'll see it. It says Galatians 5:24, those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh. That's the only thing you can do with the flesh. Kill it. Really, you cannot coddle it. So those are the free radicals. Next, anybody who works in the industry of makeup will tell you the best way to protect your skin from free radicals is sunblock. You need you like 20, 50, 100, a million sunblock. Like you just should put zinc on your face. Whatever it is, just block that stuff out. It's because UVA and UVB radiation literally fries our skin. And if you diligently apply these things, you may avert cancer, wrinkles, and sagging skin. May I just say right here and now, It's too late. Is there anyone here 30 or under? Please raise your hand. 30 or under. Wear sunblock. Please wear the sunblock. Because you will be very happy later in life. Now, I just want you to know that Jesus is our S-O-N block. The sunblock. He's your only hope from escaping these free radicals. And he can prevent the harmful radiation of the enemy from damaging our souls. Ladies, before and after skin damage from the sun. I'm sorry. Oh, too late. Yes, see, it's bad. These free radicals are bad. And so we need sunblock. And in this sunblock, God does three amazing things to avert these free radicals. Number one, he makes you alive. Even when you are dead in trespasses, in other words, it was too late, he's going to make you alive and give you a second chance with your skin. Jesus rescues from the dead. He's a resurrecting God. In the New Testament, he resurrected three different people. The widow, whose son died, and if he died, she'd have no income. God had mercy on her and raised her son. Jairus' daughter had mercy on him and raised the daughter. And who's the last one? Lazarus, come forth. So he's got the power, right? He can have the power to resurrect from the dead. You get a second chance. You get a do-over. Now I want you to hear this clearly. With sin, you are not just sick and need resuscitation. You are dead and need resurrection. Do not fool yourself into saying, I just have some sin sniffles. I'll be better. Really, I will. Because you won't. You really are dead. And it takes Jesus to resurrect you. Do you know this actually happens? Dead people wake up in morgues sometimes. Well, they're not. They're only mostly dead. A 91-year-old woman in Poland, she was all the way down in the morgue, in a body bag, for 11 hours in refrigeration, and they saw the bag start kicking. That would be interesting. A 76-year-old man was in Mississippi, and they had already taken him to the funeral home and were about to embalm him when the bag started kicking. You know what, ladies? God can save you and quicken you and give you life and resurrection power. That's what we learned last week. There's a saying that if you live once, you'll die twice. But if you live twice, you'll die once. Ladies, from here, if you know Jesus, it's straight to heaven. Your spirit will depart and be with the Lord. So you know what I got to tell you? Death is a win. Those of you, God bless you, Yvonne, because we faced it, right? And you come to a point, having been a cancer survivor, that you kind of go, I'm okay with this. Just take me. I'm done. I've lived a good life. I've been happy, had a good husband. It's fine. Now, some of you don't get this. You think I'm suicidal, but I'm not. I'm just done. I have no problem going to heaven. And I don't know why we fight it so hard. You're going to heaven. Paul put it like this in Philippians 1:21. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, that will mean fruit from my labor. Yet, I don't know what to choose. I'm hard pressed between the two. Having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better, or to remain in the flesh, which might be helpful to you. So Paul said he'd stick around to help them. That's where he was. So in your sunblock, he makes you alive, and then he makes you above. Because the only way to escape the free radicals in this atmosphere is to go to heaven. He puts you above, it says, and he raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. When Jesus resurrected you from the dead, because spiritually, if you know Jesus, you have been, he did not leave you in the cemetery. He did not leave you in a coffin or with grave clothes wrapped around you. He has raised you up in Christ, it says, and that you are seated together with him in heavenly places. Ladies, physically, you are here. Spiritually, you are there. You get me? You really are a spiritual being, and that's more real than your physical being. And I want you to know that this position is in a person. If you are in Christ, you're in heaven. If you're not in Christ, not in heaven. But if you're in Christ, where is Christ seated in heaven? On the throne, right? Now, I just have to tell you, I think the Kardashians might think they're royalty. I'm going to bash just a little bit. But, you know, some of the things need to be bashed. Kylie is just 17, 18, and she moved out of her house and invited Tyga to live in with her. Not right. Bring in that rapper who's 26 in her house. What mama lets that happen? Just saying. And Tyga has a son. You know, that's his name, T-Y-G-A. I'm not being silly, okay? I looked this stuff up. And so Tyga has a son. You know what his name is? Come on, you know, don't you? King Cairo! What kind of name is that? King Cairo. So they made sure that he had the closest bedroom to the master bedroom, and they named his room the King's Court. And in the King's Court, they have a throne. And in front of the throne is a vanity with a mirror. So when King Cairo has his hair done, he can see what's happening on the throne in his mirror. Okay, now that's just creepy. That's just wrong. That is crazy. But ladies, Jesus has prepared a place for you better than King Cairo's court. You are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So you are alive, you are above, and he's got some stuff in advance for you to do. In advance, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we walk in them. Good works, workmanship, literally is poema. It can mean poem, work of art, masterpiece. Ladies, you are his workmanship, his work of art. You're Mona Lisa with that quirky little smile, and everybody goes, who is she and what is she smiling about, is the idea. And what you are made in advance, this work of art, is good works. Anybody ever wondered, why am I here? Why has God left me on this planet? What is the purpose for my life? This is all so very confusing. It's for good works. It's the only reason you're here. It's because he's left you for good works. Rick Warren, in his book, Purpose-Driven Life, got it right. He said that he wrote an anti-self-help book. The first sentence of the book reads, "It's not all about you." Oh man, we could use that preaching right now. It's not all about you. And then he goes on to explain that personal fulfillment and satisfaction is only found in God doing God's will on earth. That's why you're here. Now, good works. It's used over 16 times in the New Testament. The term describes these things. Question, am I doing good works? Well, if you're doing this, you are. Number one, charitable deeds. You volunteer for stuff. You do charitable things, nice things for the neighbors. You babysit your sister's kids. You're doing charitable things. I love this one. Bringing up children. Anyone raised a child. You have done a good work. That's a good work. Lodging strangers. I don't know. Some of our in-laws are awfully strange. Feel me? So maybe you've lodged a stranger. Just saying. Relieving the afflicted. Or meeting urgent needs. When we ask you to give to the Love Bus, it's not because we want to milk you for money. It's because we want to provide an opportunity for you to do good works. Charitable deeds. A team of us are planning to go to Jordan in December because we've already paid for the kids and they're in school, but we would love to see a bus. So that's our goal. We're going to keep working that we can do charitable deeds, these good works. So that's our sunblock. And you know what? God planned these good deeds for you when? In advance. Before you were born, God had plans for you. In Jeremiah 1:5, God's speaking to Jeremiah, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet." God has good works made just for you, just for the circle of friends and family and place that you are. So, we have the sunblock, but there's some active ingredients inside these. And these active ingredients in these creams, gels, serums, lotions, potions include these things they call antioxidants. And you know what? $3 billion a year are made from skincare people trying to sell you some antioxidants. Like blueberries, antioxidants. Broccoli, antioxidants. Now you're trying to find it in a jar or in a bottle, but God has some for you. They say vitamin C, grape extract, alpha hydroxy, green tea can bring miraculous results. But I'm going to tell you the greatest active ingredient and antioxidant in any life, and I believe this could be uncontested. Love. Because he loved you. Is what we're told over and over again. Now this one's going to hurt, ladies, these before and after. Because these are pets before and after being rescued. Now, that pulls at your heartstrings because we're trying to tell you that all you need is love. And the only true love, the only unconditional love, the only eternal love is found in God. And he would love to pick you up, brush you off, pet your hair, give you a bath, put you on his lap, feed you some kibbles, maybe throw a few balls. You know what I'm saying? He loves you. But God. But God. All these free radicals. But God. Satan. But God. The world. But God. The flesh. But God. Who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us. That's huge. That's the active ingredient. And you know what? Love is not just part of God. It is God. First John tells us God is love. Therefore, everything God does is loving, because he is love. It is part of who he is, intrinsically part of his being. And you all know it, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that who would ever believe in him would not die, but have eternal life. That is this whole 10 verses in short. Now, some of you, that's just so old, you're like, okay, I don't see it. Maybe the love of a pet or a parent will help. Joy Havner was on vacation. She was a Texas school teacher in Colorado. And they were taking their last swim, running into the SUV, engine running. The three kids ran ahead of her, jumped in, stuck it out of gear. The truck started rolling, not just anywhere, but right toward a cliff. Joy is watching the horror on her kids' faces and think there's only one thing she can do. She throws her body under the wheels, because maybe that will slow the truck down. She said when the third tire hit her, she knew her back was broken. Collapsed lung, broken clavicle, ribs, spine. But it slowed down the SUV just enough for her father to run in and throw on the emergency brake. Joy will never walk again. But she wanted to prevent her children from death. You get it? That's what God wanted to do, to make you alive. And he did it because he loves you. Because I'm not throwing myself under the wheel for just anybody. I mean, me. That God did it for everybody, meaning all of you. So this is his love, and it says, for by grace we are saved. Coupling love together with grace, the idea is some of us have intrinsic attributes, things that are just when God is love, intrinsically all that God is, and then there are relative attributes. So let me explain this. If God is truth, then that's his intrinsic attribute. To relate to human beings, he manifests his truth in faithfulness. He's faithful to you because he is true. He will be true to who he is. If God is holy, the way God will relate to you is he will bring justice because he's holy. And if God is love, the way he manifests his love is grace, because you don't deserve it. But grace is unmerited favor. It is this love of God to those who don't deserve the love. So this active ingredient, love expressed by grace and is received by faith. Through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. All this great stuff, and you just need to be a receiver of love and grace and life and good works. Faith is not an intellectual agreement with God. Yeah, he's God. I get it. He's God. God, you're God. Because James says, even the demons believe and tremble. So it's not just that you believe God is God. Belief that receives and submits and gives its life to the one that loves us. That is true faith. Surrendering our will to his will. In fact, the author of Hebrews say, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, I don't know what you've been doing that has not been faith. Maybe you've been praying the rosary. Maybe you grovel on your knees. Maybe you cry. Maybe you fast. You can do all these things, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. And what's amazing in this text, it's a gift of God. You don't even make the faith. He gives you the faith. You don't go, faith. It's a gift of God that he gives to you. And it's faith that goes very salvation until you go home with God. 2 Timothy 1:12. I know whom I have believed, and persuaded that he is able to keep what I committed until that day. Ladies, he saved you and he can keep you. You are alive and you will stay alive because God will ensure that. It's a gift. And we'll learn further in Ephesians 4:7 that it says, to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. So you can't even take credit for the amount of faith you have because he gives to each one as he decides. And then it goes on in that text to say, and then he gives gifts, some teachers, some prophets, some, you know, all different things. So even whatever gift you get that God causes you to be, it's all from him. It's amazing. Okay, ladies, hope in a jar? I don't think so. But the world starts us young. It starts with Grimm Brothers and Disney, where they tell us with just a bippity-boppity-boo, we can turn from a little ash servant into a princess. And we start thinking, yes, there's magic out there somewhere. And then we have families that are not quite going the way we want them to. They're dysfunctional. And we say, where's my Mary Poppins? If she just comes and pulls things out of a bag by the end of it, let's go fly a kite. I mean, it solved everything. Mary Poppins. Well, guess what? No magic. Jesus. Jesus and his resurrection power can raise you from death to life and completely make you over. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for resurrection power. Thank you for second chances. Thank you, Lord, that I remember what I was like before Christ. It was bad. It was really bad, Lord. But you loved me and you saved me. And you changed me. And now I'm seated in heavenly places in Christ. If there's anyone here tonight and you have not had the experience from death to life, from sinner to saint, from flesh to faith, if you just raise your hand, I'd like to pray for you. There are several ladies this morning. Anybody here would like me to pray for salvation, that God would give you that resurrected life, that you would be lifted up, that you would be saved. God bless you. Thank you for waving because it's really hard. God bless you back there. Thank you. Anybody else that you would like to experience this resurrection alive, above, advance? Anyone else? Lord, thank you for these. And now I'm just sure there are some of you that I said earlier, you might be like one of those pets that has been neglected. The free radicals have taken their toll. Maybe you're an alcoholic, drugs, illicit sex, that they have you cornered and cowered, and you would love the Lord who is my shepherd to lead you. Is that you? Oh man, you're just ready. Raise your hand if that's you. God bless you. Some of you are so ready. God bless you. Anyone else back there? Anyone else? God is a... He saves sinners. We said we're sinners. If that's you and you need a rescue operation, this is it. Anyone else? God bless you back there. Anyone else and you over here? Lord, you see this and you're serious. Repentance is real. It's turning from what's wrong, turning to what's right. And man, that makes us a new creature, new creation, new hope, new life. Lord, would you rescue these? Would you comfort them, heal them, give them a new hunger, a new thirst for righteousness and not the things of this world, Lord, that they would be changed from the inside out. In Jesus' name, amen.